Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight, the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
The comics we'll be talking about in this episode are in the June 2009 Previews Catalog and Marvel's Previews Catalog. As always, we encourage our listeners to consider pre-ordering either with a service like DCBS or with their local comic shop, because there are tons and tons of great items in this Previews. We're only going to be scratching the surface, and you know, if you don't tell your story you're interested in something, particularly in the back half for the other comic section, but even with some of the lower-selling Marvel and DC titles, there's no guarantee they're going to have enough copies, and you may not get what you want. So, that's why we do a lot of this type of promotional stuff keyed to when things are in previews versus when they hit shelves, because sometimes by that point it's really, you know, too late. Now, we're going to start at the beginning of the catalog like we always do, work our way back. We're not going to go page by page, of course, because that would take eons, because it's a big catalog. And we're going to be playing submissions throughout. We have an open submission policy. If next month when the next previews catalog comes out or when you see the solicits online, you think, wow, this is a great thing, more people should know about it, record a short clip and send it in to us. We had only, what, 8 clips this time, Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of a short thing. And, you know, it's the summer. People got busy. I totally understand that.
And normally, I remind people. I usually send out, you know, the people who send stuff in regularly, I send out a couple of emails. And I was out of town on business, and I was just really tied up this month. So I didn't send out that reminder. I sent out a reminder like the day before they were due, because that's when I got back from my last business trip. And sorry, everyone. I didn't do the reminders like I normally do this month. And it's the same thing when we do our interviews episode. Normally I go around and I line up a whole bunch of interviews and do all that coordination. And I just did not have the time this month. So we only have one interview with Josh Finney and Kat Rocha about Titanium Rain that'll be coming out on Friday. We know Kat and Josh, and Josh reached out to us to talk about his book. So we've got that one going, but I didn't coordinate any other interviews this month. So
I tried to get one other, but you know, I was kind of busy too this month and didn't get on that fast enough. So we missed a window of opportunity. I'm hoping we may have another window of opportunity for this later in the month. If so, we'll do a follow-up kind of, you know, spotlight interview episode. I was trying to get Tyrese Gibson and the creative team from Mayhem at Image, and we'll talk about that book when we get to it. But, you know, I'd like for people to just kind of get in the habit of when they see the solicits either online or in previews to be sending in submissions without us having to kind of prod.
Right, and it's The deadline is previews will come out on a Wednesday, a week from that Friday. So you have a week and a half from when the previews hits the street to send us a submission. And they're all over the internet for weeks before previews even hits the street. So that realistically is lots of time. Anyway, we can get going here with this particular episode.
Okay, starting us off in Dark Horse on page 33 is Usagi Yojimbo number 122 by Stan Sakai. Obviously, Stan's been doing this for quite some time. I believe this is the 25th anniversary year for Usagi. I saw him talk here in Austin at Staple Convention a couple of months back. Really interesting guy, really fun. And of course, you know, I'm familiar with some of his work kind of, you know, for what he's done on GRU. And I've been thinking about checking out, you know, Usagi for a while, and there were a couple of things that kind of pushed me over the edge this month. One, budget constraints are no longer an issue. Two, this is marked as a new standalone tale of the Rabbit Ronin and a good jumping on point for new readers, and hey, I would qualify as a new reader. So, you know, I've never heard anyone say anything bad about this book. Everyone who reads it loves it, so this seems like a good jumping on point. Also, when we get later in the previews, we're going to be talking about a related collected edition about this. And, you know, it just seems like a great time, you know. So, and periodically, Stan Sakai does good jumping on points, new reader-friendly type stuff. So that's why I'm interested in this. We've got a DCBS discount of 50%. The cover price is $3.50, and DCBS has this for $1.75. So if you haven't checked out Usagi Yojimbo, this is an excellent opportunity to do this. Again, Stan Sakai has been doing this for 25 years and shows no sign of stopping. And he really had a excitement about the property and the stories he's got to tell, he wants to tell, and stuff like that when I heard him talking here in Austin. So definitely recommend that. Now, you read Usagi, don't you, Bob?
I have been reading Usagi pretty much since the beginning, and I love it. It's an excellent story. Stan puts his heart and soul into it. I mean, it does have, you know, people look at it and they think it's a funny animal comic. But, I mean, even though the characters are rabbits and other anthropomorphized animals, it's not a funny animal comic. I mean, they act like people. Stan does a lot of historical research. It is historically accurate, for the most part, to feudal Japan. And it's just a labor of love for him. It's such a good comic. It's one of the top comics that I read and highly recommend it for anybody.
Cool. Now, starting us off with one of our submissions is our most reliable submitter. And I always look forward to his email every month with his submissions, because then I know we've got, you know, quite a bit to put in the episode. Let's listen to the first pick of the month from Damien.
Hey guys, it's Damien here from the Cryptographic Podcast with my first pick for the month, which is from the Dark Horse section on page 41, which is Lovecraft Unbound. Now, this is actually a hardcover on sale on September 30th for $19.95. Lovecraft actually wrote a lot of my favorite horror, and this is something really I couldn't really pass up when I was looking through it. Okay, it is a little bit expensive, especially when it's going to come over here to be around the $40-$50 mark, but 336 pages of Cthulhu stories, which if you haven't heard of before, really, you should just go and look it up, because there's such good stuff in there, you know, talking about the way that these elder god type things that can manipulate your mind and work on different realities and are trapped beneath the earth with star stones and all this sorts of stuff. It is a great type of horror. It's one of my favorite horrors. And if any of you guys actually saw the Abrams movie that came out with the creature that was coming out of over New York, I've forgotten the name, of course, by now. But everyone first thought up that was going to be a Cthulhu movie with having some of the Cthulhu minions coming through. So that's what it's really all about. But these things are on even deeper level, they affect your dreams and things like that. If you've been interested in anything like that, and I'm sure I've just waffled on like a madman here, but you should really check out this book. As I said, 336 pages for $19.95. Now, usually you're paying that and you're getting, you know, 200 pages. So it is a good deal at that, and I really recommend you picking it up. Okay, back to Bob and John.
The movie he was talking about was Cloverfield, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, Damien loves his horror stuff. Now, is this a novelization or novel-type prose story? That's what it's looking like. So I don't think if you're expecting sequential art that you'll get that in here.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, for people who are into the horror stuff, which I, alas, am not, this should be good stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't have any artists. It has various writers listed in the solicit, but no artists, so I'm assuming it's just prose stories in that H.P. Lovecraft kind of world. And Damien loves the Lovecraft stuff. So, and I've touched upon it a little bit at times, but if you're a Lovecraft fan at all, this is definitely something you're going to want to check out.
Okay, next up we've got another pick from Damien. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, Damien back again with my next pick, which of course you know I'm going to pick this one, which is the Hellboy Library Edition Volume 3. Now, this is actually collecting the Conqueror Worm and Strange Places trade paperbacks, which was trade paperbacks 5 and 6. So they're getting through the series. As I said at one point in the long past that I've been doing this, they actually have just released issue 8, or it came out probably about 2 months ago or so. So this is actually catching up quite nicely. So volume 4 should get us nearly up to date. This is a oversized art. You're looking at $49.95, but, you know, it is phenomenal. They have a nice cloth cover on them. You know, it's a cloth hardcover book with a nice picture of Hellboy on there. They are phenomenal reads, and the oversized art is just extraordinary on it. You know, I can't really say much more about this. It comes with over 30 pages of new sketch material, and it's just a good read if you haven't been reading Hellboy. And, you know, I always took a long time to jump onto the bandwagon myself. So if you haven't been reading it, really, you should. This is the way you should be reading it. It's like when you read The Sandman, you read it in the absolutes these days. And it is such a phenomenal book. So pick it up. Hellboy Volume 3. It's on page 43, and it's $49.95.
I share Damien's love for Hellboy, and these library editions that Dark Horse has been putting out are just beautiful. Anyone who's a Hellboy fan, these library editions are highly, highly recommended. So check them out if you can. They're, you know, a little pricey, $50, but I mean, they're oversized. They're kind of like, they're about the size of an absolute. They're not slipcased, but they are oversized. They're hardcover. They're quite thick. They have very nice production values. And, you know, for being essentially the same price as a Marvel Masterworks, you know, they're much larger and, you know, a very good value compared to other similar hardcover collections that come out. Our next choice, we're going to jump over into DC Land here on page 73 of the previous catalog for Outsiders, number 21. And we have a new story arc here called The Hunting. And it's with Arkham's most dangerous inmates running free, the Outsiders are charged with returning them to Gotham City by whatever means necessary. Now we're going to have the new Batman being involved here. As people may or may not know, the Outsiders has been handed over, and Alfred is running the Outsiders now. And Alfred is a very interesting character because he wasn't just a butler. I mean, he was, you know, had some acting background. He was supposed to be in British Special Forces. You know, he's got a lot under the covers, more than just being a domestic servant. And he's leveraging some of that skill to be running the Outsiders team and bringing some of the classic Batman rogues back into the mix, Killer Croc, Mr. Freeze, Clayface, etc. I think that's going to be pretty interesting. And Peter Tomasi's been doing a pretty good job on Outsiders. I was maybe about 6 months ago almost getting ready to drop the title, but Peter Tomasi really turned it around, and I've been enjoying it quite a lot over the last several months. So this is one of the better Batman family titles that's coming out right now, in my opinion.
Well, and I suspect this new storyline is going to be kind of pivotal in the long-term success or failure of this book, because when Tomasi came on board, that was during a period where they were kind of continually reforming the team for a couple issues in a row. And, you know, they're finishing off that first story arc of his where they've established the team, and this will be the first one where the team is in place from the start of the story arc. So, I mean, that I think will be a good thing. And Tomasi's been doing a lot of good stuff over on the Green Lantern books and Green Lantern Corps and a couple other places.
He's a good, solid writer. He tells a good story, and you can check this issue out 50% off through DCPS, so it's only $1.49.
Now, on the next page of page 74, we've got Adventure Comics number 1. This is a 40-page comic. It's going to have a main feature and a co-feature. The main feature is the Connor Kent Superboy. The co-feature is the Legion of Superheroes. And I guess we'll figure out which Legion that is once Final Crisis Legion of Three Worlds finishes off. but really, hey, any Legion's good with me. I love them all. This is a $3.99 cover price, but 75% off through DCBS, bringing it down to 99 cents. So it's worth checking out at that price. Certainly, I'd be checking it out even at the full price, because I like both the Connor Kent Superboy and, again, the Legion of Superheroes. And, you know, I'm glad they're bringing back Adventure Comics as a name of a title, because I remember that back from really the end of its original run with the Dial H for Heroes stuff, which I loved, and then when it flipped to digest format and reprinted some old Shazam stuff, some old Legion of Superheroes stuff. You know, I've still got that whole stack of digests and stuff from that era, and it lasted for, I think, 2 or 3 years in that format. So certainly a classic title in DC's library, and hopefully this is the start of a long and successful run.
Yeah, and Jeff Johns is writing it. So
I should have mentioned that. That's a good selling point, yeah.
It's like, if Jeff Johns is writing it, I'll be buying it. I mean, I love writers. I will follow various writers, just like I follow various artists, and Jeff Johns is on my automatic buy list. If he's writing something, I'll buy it.
Yeah, I would say he's probably the strongest writer DC's got right now. Everything he's done, by and large, has clicked with me.
Yeah. And another writer on my buy list is James Robinson. So moving to our next selection here, we've got Superman's Pal, Jimmy Olsen Special Number 2, written by James Robinson, art by Bernard Chang. We haven't seen Bernard Chang in a long time. He's done a couple of things at DC. I mostly remember him back from the Valiant days. He did one of my favorite Valiant books, which was The Second Life of Dr. Mirage.
That was good stuff. I love the art there, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, seeing him back in comics, he kind of dropped off of comics for, you know, quite a few years. But seeing him back will be great. And this one, we've got more of that Project 7734, which is, you know, kind of like hell upside down with numbers. It's kind of a crazy thing, little stupid calculator trick. And we've got Monel. We've got Steel's niece, Natasha Irons, codename Assassin, got the Guardian, all kinds of stuff. The first Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen special was really pretty good. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would, and I'm looking forward to seeing another one. We've got 48 pages for $4.99, but special DCBS discount on this one, 50% off, so you'll get a pretty good price on it if you check this out. And it is kind of tailing into a storyline that has been running through the Superman family of titles for a while now.
Yeah, and like you said, that first Jimmy Olsen special that Robinson did was surprisingly great. You know, I went in with, you know, kind of low expectations, but just was really, you know, impressed with that.
Yeah, I mean, you come in, it's like, Jimmy Olsen, you know, it's going to, I guess I'll get it. You know, James Robinson's writing it. But it was really, really good, and I look forward to seeing this. And Robinson's another one of those writers where when he writes something, I can't even think of something that he's written that didn't really click with me. He's a really solid writer. I enjoy the stories he tells. So definitely he gets the benefit of the doubt from me. If he's writing something, I'll check it out.
Well, and deservedly so, because with that first Jimmy Olsen one, it's like, this will be some superfluous story, just filler stuff. And it's like, no, this really moved the character forward and was pivotal in the events of the Superman books. And he's got a knack for writing stories that feel like they really matter to the characters. Good stuff, definitely recommended. Now, moving on to page 92, we're going to start to get into some of the collected editions for DC. Now, I don't do much in the way of collected editions normally, but there are a couple I've been getting. I've been getting a lot of showcases and stuff, and this next item is making me kind of rethink that a little. We've got the Flash Chronicles Volume 1 trade paperback. I've been getting the Superman Chronicles, the Batman Chronicles, certainly the Green Lantern Chronicles. I mean, geez, talk about stories that need to be in color, that would be Green Lantern. But the Flash, I mean, this is the definition almost of the Silver Age, was when Barry Allen came along, and of course he's coming back now, so these are kind of relevant stories in that respect. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm just a purist and I like to see my superheroes in bright colored spandex or what have you. So I'm going to be picking this up. It is 160 pages. It covers Showcase 4, 8, 13, 14, Flash 105 and 106. That's a total of about 160 pages. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. So pick this up, read this, and then as you're reading this, once you're done with each story and stuff, go check out Tom versus the Flash. His podcast is kind of going through, you know, the Silver Age stuff, and I really enjoyed his take on, you know, Tom versus the Justice League. And it's kind of a Jon Stewart Daily Show take on some of the Silver Age comics.
That is a hilarious podcast. I listen to it with my son Steve, and usually when we're driving someplace, I'll pop those in. So I'm a little bit behind on it because I only listen to it when I've got Steven with me. But we love Tom versus the JLA. We're almost to the end of the Tom versus the JLA run, and we'll be moving into Tom versus the Flash. But I will also point out that the issues here that they are presenting in this, while they may seem like just a random collection of issues, those are actually the first six appearances of the Silver Age Flash. Showcase 4 was the very first appearance of the Silver Age Barry Allen Flash. His next appearance was in 8, and then 13, 14, and then they restarted the Flash title at 105. That picked up the numbering from the Golden Age Flash title, which had ended at 104, I believe. So, well, Flash 105 was the first Silver Age Flash title with him. He was in Showcase for 4 issues before that.
And picking these issues up in any quality is going to be pretty expensive.
Oh, tremendously expensive.
Yeah.
Tremendously. Expensive.
And have they, I mean, other than an archive or whatever, have they ever reprinted these in color?
I'm sure that these particular issues have been not all in one place, but they've been in, you know, probably here and there, like, you know, a giant size this or some kind of reprint edition over the years. I can't imagine that they haven't reprinted these because I read these stories, most of them anyway, at some point. Remember when they used to do those DC digests? And
between the digests and some of the other reprint stuff, you're right, because there was a period in the 70s and 80s where trades hadn't hit and they had other ways of reprinting stuff, and you got a better selection of some of the older stuff. That's a good point.
Classic stuff like this, it's been around, but in an easy to get a hold of and cheap format, no place like this. So again, the superhero stuff I love in color. For $14.99 and the DCBS discount on this book is 50% off, so you get it for $7.50. That's a really good price for six key Silver Age issues of The Flash. So highly recommend it if you haven't checked these out. Now, I have the archives, so I don't need to pick up the soft cover version of it, but if I didn't have the archives, I'd definitely be getting this.
Yeah, yeah. Now, just to jump ahead, because I know you're going to talk about this in a sec, the one exception to the showcases that I, you know, even though I'm rethinking should I be getting them or not, that even though I have the issues I'm tempted to get is this next one. So go ahead on that.
Right. So the next one we have, the Showcase Presents Warlord, Volume 1. And this is the first issue special number 8, which was the first appearance of Travis Morgan, Warlord, and then Warlord 1 through 28. Now, showcases... And same thing with the Marvel Essentials. I like my superheroes in color, but as far as Essentials and Showcases go, kind of sword and sorcery and horror and westerns and war, I don't mind those in black and white. And usually the Showcases and Essentials that I buy are just that. You know, I have the House of Mystery Showcases, I have the Phantom Stranger, Jonah Hex, Haunted Tank, and Warlord is definitely one that I'll add to my shelf. Especially, it's $17.99. We've got a 50% off discount, so it's $8.99. Let's call it $9, right? It's 528 pages, 29 comic books for $9. I mean, that is a really good price. You know, you're paying about 35 cents a comic or something like that. You can't get these stories that cheap anywhere else. And if you've never read Mike Grell's, and this is all the stuff when Grell was doing Warlord. This is the classic, classic Warlord. If you've never read Warlord before, or if you've just recently picked up this new Warlord series that is coming out and want to see the roots of the character, this is a really low price way to pick that up and be able to enjoy those first 29 issues of Warlord.
Now, when we reviewed the new Warlord number one that came out, I had gone and read this entire original run of Warlord because I had picked up the individual issues, and some of the early ones were a little pricey. You know, not like Showcase number four pricey, of course, but, you know, not dirt cheap or whatever. And, you know, once I started reading it, I couldn't get through the series fast enough. This is just great, great stuff. A good sword and sorcery type thing. If you like shows like Stargate SG-1 or Stargate Atlantis, where you've got kind of a modern person in a foreign alien type setting, and this having, again, more of a sword and sorcery, you know, type thing versus sci-fi type thing, although there's some sci-fi elements in the Warlord, I think you'll really like this. You know, it's got a nice sensibility about it that, frankly, I'm shocked never got turned into a TV show. Because I think they could take the early stuff by Grell, and he was on through around issue 50-ish, somewhere in there, so a little beyond this. But it is such an excellent foundation for a narrative universe that I really think it would have succeeded back when Hercules and Xena were on the air as syndicated shows or on the Sci-Fi Network or somewhere. And the nice thing about Warlord is up through about issue, I'm going to say 90 or so, it's self-contained. It doesn't cross over into the DC universe. Everything you need is in there. Excellent stuff, and one that I think would work very well in a black and white format. So I too highly, highly recommend it. Now, moving into the Vertigo section, we've got Peter and Mac, a Fables novel hardcover. And this is the first prose novel for Fables. It's going to cover two brothers, Peter Piper and his older brother Max. And, you know, it's written by Bill Willingham. You know, he's done some other novels and stuff, and I'm really curious to see kind of how the Fables characters and universe translates into a prose fiction kind of a format. I'll be honest that this is one that once I get will probably sit unread for a little while, just like the 1001 Nights of Snowfall or whatever, because I tend to read my issues before I read hardcovers and trades. But I am just loving everything going on with Fables, Fables, Jack of Fables, Literals, and really think that the narrative universe that Bill Willingham has created there is, you know, unbelievably rich, sophisticated, and deep. And, you know, as much as I loved that first 5-issue story arc in Fables, what really blows me away is how it was setting the scenes for everything that's followed. So he's got a rich tapestry here he's building, and seeing how some of that gets done up in a prose story, to me, seems very exciting. It's cover price of $22.99. We've got a 55% discount, which puts it at, $10.34. Very reasonable price there. So, if you like Fables, check this out.
And our next, this is just a personal one. It's not one of the special discounts or anything we put together, but just I wanted to point out because I almost missed it going through Sandman the Dream Hunters. This is the comic series based on Neil Gaiman's prose novella. He had done a prose Sandman story, and that was then adapted into comics with P. Craig Russell art. Now, I love P. Craig Russell art. I love the Sandman. I didn't buy the comic series because I knew a hardcover was going to come out. And it's like, you know, I have all my Sandman. I have hardcovers and absolutes and all this. And it's like I just thought, okay, you know, I know if I buy these 4 issues of the comic, I'm going to turn around and just buy the hardcover when it comes out anyway. I don't need both of them. So I'm going to wait. I'll wait for the hardcover to come out. Then the hardcover came out, and I almost missed it here. But I just want to remind people, if you are a Sandman fan, this is a fabulous story, fabulous art by P. Craig Russell, and here we have it on page 116 of the previews catalog.
Okay, taking us over into Image. I'm going to start by reading the solicitation blurb, then I'll tell you what it is. Los Angeles, the city of fallen angels, is swept up by a brutal crime wave led by a kingpin known only as Big X. The body count builds as only one man can stop the flow of drugs and violence. Only one man can stop Big X. He's the embodiment of revenge and raw justice, the faceless arm of those who cannot defend themselves. He's known as Mayhem, and along with his sexy but deadly partner Malice, their goal is to dismantle the kingpin's organization, unravel the dark secret that mysteriously links them to Big X, and save the city they grew up in. This is Tyrese Gibson's Mayhem, and so it's really kind of no surprise that the solicitation blurb reads like a movie synopsis or trailer kind of a thing. They've got 4 pages of preview art. The art is by Tone Rodriguez, who has done things like Snake Plissken Escape from L.A., and he also did Urban Monsters, UTF, a few other things. He's also done some stuff over at Bongo with the Simpsons characters. The story is written by Tyrese Gibson, who's been in Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, the first Transformers movies. I think it was one of the Fast and Furious movies. He's been in a bunch of movies. He also has a singing career and stuff. And co-written also with Mike Lee and William Wilson. This is something that I think is going to be really interesting to watch the sales on for a couple of reasons. One, I think this has a good chance of bringing in people from outside the existing comic book readers and getting them into comic stores. You know, from a perspective of a lot of our listeners, I think they're going to look at this and say, oh, it's just another superhero comic. Sure, they've attached a celebrity to it. Okay, fine. But, you know, part of the problem, I think, with the current industry is the most publishers are only, you know, kind of trying to sell to the existing fan base versus thinking outside of that box and getting other people in. Now, I have been consulting with them and offering my thoughts on how to market the book and stuff like that, and it seems like good, solid content, and again, something that if they can bring in Tyrese's fan base, get them into comic shops, maybe get a couple of people to buy them and stuff, that could be good for all of us.
But wisely, you told me they were going to be selling it through their website, because I have a feeling that people are going to go into comic shops and they're not going to be able to find this book.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing I told them, do whatever you can in the pre-order stage, because the last thing you want is people heading to stores saying, I want it, and them saying, I don't got it. From what I understand, they've already pre-sold maybe 10,000 copies through one store. I think that was Meltdown in L.A. So they're aggressively trying to do the pre-order, trying to get the word out to Tyrese's fan base and go with that.
Yeah, well, they are going to do an event there that they'll have some publicity to, and Meltdown is nicely located for the, you know, the Hollywood and music crowd. So, you know, depending on how they pump that event up, they could actually get a pretty decent number of people, non-comic fan type of people, going to that. And Meltdown is a really nice shop. It's you know, kind of trendy-ish. So, you know, it's the kind of place that you can actually have that kind of an event and, you know, kind of pull in people, and it'll probably be good for them. And I wish them luck on this. I think that, you know, pulling in alternate group of people and getting them interested and having something that's kind of targeted at a certain fan base, that'll be a good thing, because there are other comics like that that people could be moved into.
Yeah. And, I mean, a lot of people have been saying, oh, we need more people reading comics and stuff. I know I've been saying that. So it's nice to be able to be in a position to kind of help start to make that happen. Now, this isn't going to change things overnight, but one of the things that would help keep prices on comics down and make, you know, companies less likely to raise prices is if they're just selling more of them. So things like Buffy that brings in another fan base, things like Tyrese Gibson's Mayhem that may bring in another fan base, all of that is just, it's good for everybody. Now, on the next page, 136, we've got G-Man, Cape Crisis, number 1 of 5, by Chris Caruso, who has done the mini Marvel stuff in the back of a lot of Marvel comics. They've got 4 pages of the story and stuff here. He's got a slightly cartoony style or whatever, but it really fits for what he's doing. And, you know, I've been a big fan of his mini Marvel stuff, his G-Man stuff, which has shown up, I guess, in the back of Savage Dragon. And it's a good, fun kind of poke at superhero cliches and stuff like that. It's hard for me to describe it better than that. It's something you really got to read, and either you're going to like it or you're not, and it's pretty clear which side of the fence you'd be on. If you like one of them, you'll like all of them. It is a $3.50 cover price. We've got a 50% discount, which brings it to $1.49. It's 32 pages. It's full color. It's part 1 of 5. And again, I've been enjoying the G-Man stuff since I've started reading it. Highly recommend it. Now, we've also got another pick from Image. This one's a submission, so let's listen to that.
Hi, this is Bill, DBM on the forum with my first pick this month. It's on page 138 of the previews catalog. It's from Image Comics, and it is King City number 1, with story and art by Brandon Graham. Now, King City, this is actually interesting. It's a Tokyo Pop Presents comic being brought out by Image. This originally came out through Tokyo Pop back in 2007. Tokyo Pop released 1 volume of King City. It was one of several American mangas they were releasing back in 2007. Then in 2008, Tokyo Pop underwent a restructuring, and they dropped, I think, the majority of their American-made mangas. And King City was one of the casualties, so the first volume came out, and then the second and third never came out. So fans of the series never really thought we would see this again, or we always hoped that Tokyo Pop would pick it up again. So apparently Tokyo Pop and Image have come to some arrangement whereby Tokyo Pop still retains the rights to King City, but Brandon's able to release it through Image Comics. So Image Comics is now the publisher of it. Now, King City was actually my favorite book of 2007, and it was actually the first Brandon Graham comic I read. I subsequently have picked up pretty much everything else he has done because I enjoyed it so much. What King City is, it's the story of a young man named Joe, and I'll read the back of the Tokyo Pop version. Joe is a young man with no home, no purpose, and almost no friends, although he does have a very special cat. With a special injection, Joe's cat can become anything, a weapon, a tool, or even a cuddly companion. But what, if anything, can transform Joe? So, this book takes place in a futuristic world in, obviously, King City, the city called King City. In it, we follow the life of Joe, who is a cat master, meaning he has a cat, when given an injection, can become any weapon or tool he needs. We're following his life and his friends. He has a friend named Pete, who wears a mask over his face all the time, or most of the time. His ex-girlfriend, Anna, who is dating a man who fought in the Great Zombie War and has flashbacks to the Great Zombie War. There's gangs in the city. There's some mysterious alien type of individuals that Joe is trying to get to the bottom of what they're all about. So why was it one of my favorite books? Part of because of the art. Brandon Graham's style is quite unique. It's, I guess, inspired by several different things. One obvious influence is graffiti art. You can see that a lot in the fonts he uses for his text. Other influences of his include some of the Bede European comics, so things such as Mobius and some manga comics as well. Now, So what Image is now doing is they're going to be publishing the first volume of King City and the subsequent volumes in single issues until they get to the end, and then hopefully collect it at the end, hopefully in a nice hardcover edition. That's just my personal wish. The comic is actually being published, I believe, in the oversized format that they recently published Vikings in. So as someone who is a big fan of the series, I'm super excited because not only do I get the conclusion of the series, but I also get to see Brandon's art, you know, go from manga-sized to oversized. So I'm extremely happy to be able to see that. If you look on page 139 in previews, you can see 4 pages from the comic just to get an idea of Brandon's style and a little bit about what the book is about. I highly recommend this. As I said, it was my favorite comic of 2007, and I don't know if I can count it again as my favorite, but it, you know, is poised to be my favorite comic of 2009 as well. So it's $2.99, 32 pages, black and white. I encourage everyone to pick it up, and hopefully you'll get as much enjoyment out of it that I did. So one final point. Although it's was published by Tokyo Pop and is considered an American manga, it is most definitely not a manga comic. It bears no resemblance to any Japanese comics. It's purely an American comic. So if you're leery of manga, really the only thing that King City had in common with manga was the format it was published in. I'd also point out Brandon's art is extremely detailed in that he puts lots of things in the background. In every shot, you could spend hours just studying all the things he has put into the background, all the interesting little gadgets and things he has invented in this world. So it's quite fascinating to see the architecture and just the appliances in the houses or the things stuck to the refrigerators. So if that sounds interesting, I recommend you pick it up. Thanks.
Okay. Well, that seems like it has it all. We've got zombies, we've got transforming cats, we've got all kinds of stuff going on. So that totally fell off my radar. So thank you, Bill, for giving us that analysis of what that's about. Next, we're going to be moving into the Marvels catalog. And the first pick that we have here is the Marvels Project, an 8-issue series written by Ed Brubaker with the pencils by Steve Epting. This is going to be the centerpiece of Marvel's 70th anniversary celebration. Looks like it's going to start out in 1939, and it's going to have something to do with the beginning of the first heroic age of the Marvel Universe. We're going to see the first days of the Human Torch, the Submariner, and many more, and how they shape the world to come and how the future would in turn shape them. This is going to be marketed by Marvel very heavily, I suspect, and it is being called the must-read event for any Marvel fan. And, you know, Ed Brubaker, I think you'll agree, John, he is another one of these writers, kind of like Geoff Johns. He's one of the premier writers, and if he's writing it, I'll read it. So, you know, the fact that they've got him on this book, that it was pretty much a guaranteed sell for me. DCBS has this at a 75% off discount. So you can get this $3.99 book for $1. Give this one the benefit of the doubt and give it a read. I think that Brubaker certainly has a track record that he's going to make this something that is really something special.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely. Brubaker is just doing a great job on everything he's touching over at Marvel these days. And, you know, the only part of giving him the benefit of the doubt I would disagree with is, why would there be any doubt? I mean, he's got a proven track record here. And, you know, our next item is another Ed Brubaker written story, and it's Daredevil 500. It's on page 44. We've got a 50% discount, which is good, because with these nice round numbers, you know, we're getting 104 pages of story for $4.99, half off. That's 249, so it's a bit more palatable. And, you know, 500th issue of Daredevil. Obviously, they're flipping the numbering to make some of this happen, but hey, whatever. We're getting the wrap-up of, you know, Ed Brubaker's and Michael Lark's run on the title. You know, what is Kingpin's troop plan? You know, what's going on with him and Lady Bullseye? You know, and just kind of where are they going to leave this off for the next creative team? Now, I think they've had a really, really strong run on this title. They had a great handoff from the previous creative team with you know, Bendis and Brubaker's, the writing transition there being just amazingly smooth. I'm curious if that's going to happen again. If so, you know, kudos to them. But again, Brubaker's stuff, pretty much everywhere, you know, Cap, Daredevil, the Marvel's project you just mentioned. I think all of that's a must read for any serious Marvel fan. You know, he's doing a bang up job, just solid storytelling. Can't recommend it highly enough. And really, these round number issues, usually it's been 600s, lately at Marvel, but you know, this is a 500. 104 pages, these things are amazingly thick. And so far, every one that we've gotten, has been really worth the money, even at the full price. Now, it doesn't say here how much is going to be new, how much is going to be reprint, but I'm going to figure at least 50, 60 pages of new material in this, and certainly worth the money at that.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll lean a little bit more toward Thor than to the Hulk in the new material. I'm not, you know, holding my breath. No, Spider-Man, that's the one that was all new material, right? So
yeah,
that one's going to be a treat. I'm looking forward to it. Marvel has been doing a really very nice job on these multiple hundred anniversary issues that they've been putting out. So looking forward to it. Our next book is Fantastic Four number 570 coming out from Marvel. Now, this is the first issue with the new creative team. The new creative team being Jonathan Hickman and Dale Eaglesham on the art. And this one I'm really looking forward to because Jonathan Hickman, his work at Marvel, I've been really enjoying. We'll talk in a little bit about Secret Warriors, which he's doing. I really am enjoying the Fantastic Four Dark Reign story that he's writing. Many people might remember him. Many probably don't, but from the Image books that he did Nightly News, Pax Romana, Red Mass for Mars. But his Marvel work is very well crafted, I'll just say. I've been really enjoying his take on the Marvel characters and just how he's writing these stories. And I'm really looking forward to a new story arc on the Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four is one of, you know, the classic Marvel series. I think it's lately, it's not a title that gets as much fan attention as some of the other Marvel titles. And maybe switching things up on the creative team is what needs to happen. I'm really liking the latest Miller run on it, but that New Earth one was, I think, kind of far afield. It wasn't hitting a collective fan sweet spot. And I'm going to think that Hickman might have a good shot at capturing the fans' imagination. Just the one thing is that it's going to say, see what happens when Reed Richards tries to solve everything. And I'm going to be really interested in how Hickman tackles that.
Definitely should be interesting, and I'm looking forward to it too. You know, they've been having some good creative teams on the Fantastic Four lately. Like you said, with the previous run, you know, one of the story arcs wasn't a huge hit, but the others have been pretty good. And, you know, he's a good follow-up creator on that, so should be fun. Did you mention there's a discount on it?
It's a 50% discount.
Okay, page 54. Iron Man and the Armor Wars, number 1 of 4. This is one where, frankly, the cover's not working for me, but the concept here I think is really cool. We got a 50% discount on this. It is a standard 32-page, $2.99 comic, of which there are not enough, you know, at Marvel these days. So, you know, half off, it's only going to set you back $1.49. And the concept here is, what if somebody stole Iron Man's armor? Not one suit, all of them. And then kind of set them against Tony Stark. And, you know, one of the things I love about Iron Man is all the different suits. He's got the deep space suit, the stealth suit, the underwater suit, the, you know, this, that, and the other suits, the Hulkbuster suit. And the concept of somebody being able to steal all these things, yeah, okay, that'll be interesting to see if they can pull off. You know, because, I mean, who can outsmart Tony Stark? And now there are different thoughts on that. Sometimes pretty damn easy, other times, hey, he is a genius. But this just seems like a cool concept, and being able to see all the different types of armor in use again, and him having to fight them and deal with them, has a lot of potential. The writer of Joe Carmanga, not a name I recognize, but, you know, we'll see how this goes. This, again, the concept sounds really cool. I'm looking forward to it. 50% off, seems like a good deal.
And, next, we're going to pull into Secret Warriors, number 7, another Jonathan Hickman written book. This is basically Nick Fury. We're following along Nick Fury in here, and this series I have been loving since day one. I'm going to toss out a bit of a spoiler here because it's the kind of thing that you would get if you're reading the first issue of Secret Warriors, but you know, I'm going to try to pull people into reading it. And you wouldn't notice it if you're never going to try this book out, you know. And that is, Nick Fury finds out that S.H.I.E.L.D. all along has actually been a puppet organization and financed by Hydra. He thought he was fighting all these years. And that is just something that we, that it was such a cool idea, and how Nick is now working along behind the scenes, you know, with this Dark Reign stuff going on, and Dark Avengers, and Dark Wolverine, and Dark, you know, having the good guys working along behind the scenes. And, you know, what we've got here is a new series coming up, and a new story arc coming up, and we've got Baron Strucker and Norman Osborn teaming up to, you know, crush Nick and his organization. And it turns out one of the members of Nick Fury's team is Phobos, who's the god of fear, who is actually the son of Ares, who is on the Dark Avengers team. So that is going to cause a little bit of father-son rivalry, I would imagine. But again, Hickman has been doing an absolutely great job on this. And highly recommended series. Go back and try to pick up some of the earlier issues that are out now, or pick up the trade paperback if that's your bag and you like the trade paperbacks. But highly recommended series here. We're going to move from that into a Marvel Masterworks, and that's 50% off, by the way, The Secret Warriors. Another 50% off book is Marvel Masterworks Deathlok. Now, a lot of people skip the Marvel Masterworks. This is almost essentially like an omnibus. This has got all of the Luther Manning Deathlok stuff. It's got Astonishing Tales 25 through 28, 30 through 36, Marvel Spotlight 33, Marvel Team Up 46, Marvel 2-in-1 27 and 54, and Captain America 286 to 288. That is 352 pages of comics. It's $65. We've got a 50% off discount for you here at DCBS. So it'll set you back only, what would that be, $37.50. So what is Deathlok? Deathlok, this is 1970s, and I was reading this as it came out. We've got writers like Doug Mensch and Bill Mantlow. It's illustrated by Rich Buckler. There are other writers and artists that came in as some of the other, you know, Marvel team-ups and two-in-ones came along. But, you know, look at the writers. We've got Doug Mensch, Bill Mantlow, J.M. DeMatteis, David Anthony Kraft, Marv Wolfman, Mark Gruenwald. We've got art by Rich Buckler, Mike Zeck, John Byrne. This is a story of a cyborg created by the government, and it's essentially one of these stories where you have like the good guy, and he's remade into the death machine by the government, and it's kind of a blend of sci-fi because it's just enough in the future. You got a little bit of, you know, kind of not really post-apocalyptic, but it's in the future far enough that people can actually make these cyborgs and they can run around and do all this kind of stuff. But I loved this series when it came out originally. They redid Deathlok as a character in the 90s. It was a different guy. I think his name was Michael Collins. That one just didn't click with me that much. It was a little darker, a little more, I don't know, needlessly violent. This one, it was just good, fun 70s sci-fi adventure type of stuff. And if you've never checked it out, you can get the whole story here in one volume.
Yeah, this is, like you said, a completely different Deathlok than a lot of people might be familiar with, either from the 90s stuff, or didn't they do one with the M-Tech stuff in the early 2000 era?
I believe so, yeah.
So, I mean, they've tried to come back to this character a couple of times, and while I liked some of the early stuff with the Michael Collins one or whatever in the 90s, the four-issue prestige format series I thought was good. When they went to monthly, it started good but went downhill. That's a pale imitation of the original stuff. You know, I read the couple issues in Captain America he was in when those were coming out. Loved those things, and I may pick those up in back issues, actually. Anyways, read them, loved them, definitely recommend this. I would be picking this up, except I think I've got all but maybe one issue of Astonishing Tales and maybe that Marvel team-up, which, of course, I'm now going to start looking for and seeing if I can fill those gaps.
Yeah, and, you know, these are not the most tremendously expensive back issues in the world. I mean, you can pick them up in very good or fine condition for probably, you know, $4 or $5 a piece. So it's not like, you know, when you buy a Masterwork or something like that, you know, we're talking about those Flash books or, you know, something like that where, you know, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of dollars an issue. But still, for the number of comics you're getting here for the price, it is still substantially cheaper than you would pay for the back issues unless you already have most of the issues, in which case, you know, it's best to just go and buy the couple that you don't have.
Now, I will say the one or two I don't have, particularly the issue of Astonishing Tales, I'm having a hard time finding that. So it may not cost me much when I do find it, but until then, you know, hey.
Yeah, and that is the trick with a lot of these 70s kind of mid-tier characters is it can be kind of hard to track down those issues because a lot of people save and, you know, keep a hold of, you know, the Batman, Spider-Man, you know, et cetera kind of characters. But some of these other ones, they're not necessarily just easy to get your hands on.
Yeah. Now, one thing I want to say before we officially get out of the Marvel previews and back into the main previews is you'll note we had no submissions for Marvel this month. Surely we've got a lot of Marvel fans out there because, hey, they're accounting for over half the aggregate sales for the top 300 comics every month. So next time you get your Marvel previews, if you see something, it's like, hey, this looks cool, record a short submission and send it to us. You know, part of why we do these episodes is to get hooked on new titles and exposed to new titles just for me and Bob, too. So we want to have more listener input on these things.
Heck, we didn't have any DC submissions this month.
You're kidding. You're right. I didn't even know. That's funny. Wow.
Anything from Marvel or DC.
And between the two, they account for, what, 85% of the aggregate sales of the top 300 every month. That's... I get that with Damian. Bill, okay, yeah. But, hey, send in submissions, people. These episodes are what you make of them. I mean, Bob and I are going to get what we're going to get, so, you know, hey. All right. That takes us into the other comics section of previews. Why don't you start us off with our first pick there?
I was going through the Arkea Studios section, and Arkea's got some really nice stuff coming out. I'm getting several things from them, but the one I wanted to particularly highlight here first is called Days Missing Number 1. It's written by Phil Hester with art by Fraser Irving. The first issue, 32-page issue, is only 99 cents, so that's a really great chance to try this out. It says, since the dawn of time, a being has existed whose interaction and interference with mankind has shaped human history. His powers of time and intellect have allowed him to secretly remove certain critical days from the historical record. Their stories have never been told. The details have never been documented. Their existence is not remembered. But the occurrences of these days have forever changed the course of humanity's evolution. These are the days missing from our existence, and they are about to be revealed. That sounds pretty cool. And for 99 cents, I am absolutely going to be checking this one out. I think it's a really great thing that Arkea is doing here, and I've seen Radical do this in the past, where they kind of remove that barrier to entry on the first issue. Vertigo has done it also. And, you know, if I buy this first issue and I read it and it's as cool as it sounds from this blurb, I will absolutely buy the rest of the series at the regular price. So I applaud Arkea for this technique. Phil Hester has written a lot of stuff that I've enjoyed, so I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, same here. It's a cool enough concept that between the low price they're offering at and the 45% discount through DCBS, I mean, for 54 cents, you know, it's a no-brainer for me. If it had been a full price, you know, $3.99, even with a discount, it'd be about $2.79-ish or whatever. I don't know, maybe. But again, like you said, remove that barrier to entry, particularly on a first issue. Smart move. Okay, next up we have two clips for Titanium Rain. This is also going to be the feature interview for our Spotlight interview episode on Friday. We'll play both of these, starting with Bill's and then Damien's, and then we'll talk about this a little, and of course we're going to talk about it a lot on Friday.
Hi, this is Bill with my next pick. I'm hoping someone else also recommends this, but I can't let this go by without recommending it. On page 191 from Arkea Studio Press, we have Titanium Rain, number 1 and 2, double-sized relaunch from Josh Finney and Kat Rocha, the creators of the Utopiates that came out a couple of years back. This was originally released by Arkea last year, I believe, where they brought out number 1. So they're kind of relaunching this series with a double-sized issue, which includes both number 1 and number 2. Josh and Kat's art is extremely photorealistic art. It's very beautiful. It's not typically the kind of thing I go for, but they're exceptionally talented at what they do. This book is about, it takes place in the year 2031, and it's a war, a civil war in China that spirals into global conflict. So it's a war comic with extremely photorealistic art, and I highly recommend it. And I know DCBS is doing a special promotion this month, so you want to check that out as well. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for that clip, Bill. Let's hear what Damien has to say on Titanium Rain.
Hey, guys. It's Damien back from the Welcome to Heavenside podcast with my next pick for the month, which is going to be Titanium Rain issues 1 and 2, the double-sided relaunch. Now, this is the original issue that actually came out back in September with the second issue put into a one issue. So instead of a normal 22-page book, they've actually put it into as a 48-page book. Plus, they've got extras in there and everything for it. Now, this is a really good book. Like, I got the original issue when it came out back last year, and I've been waiting for this ever since, so I'm so glad to see it coming back. It's written by Josh Finney and art's done by Josh and Kat Rocha, who's his wife. And it is just a phenomenal book. It's nothing like you've ever seen before in a comic book, really. The way they do their art, they have... it's mainly all done via computer, but it's just such clean lines, like all the planes that you'll see in there, all the actual vehicles you see in there. It looks like you could actually see them just walking down the street or flying overhead or in a war zone when you're watching it on TV. It is so well done. They just render everything greatly in there. And if you have a look into issue two, you might see sort of a bit of a shout out to me, or in the second half of the book, you see a little bit of a shout out to me possibly. So I have to recommend this one. 48 pages, it's $4.99. Now, from what I know, they're going to be collecting issues 1 and 2 in a collected like this. Issues 3 and 4 are also going to be put together, and that's only going to be next month. So really, you're getting 2 issues a month as it's going on at the moment, and it works out about $2.50 each. So how can you go wrong with that? Okay, that's enough from me. I'll let you get back to Bob and John.
And as I said, we're going to be talking with Josh and Kat at length on the Friday episode, both about Titanium Reign and just about the comic industry in general.
The DCBS package here, and I think it'll be good for the first 100 or so people that order this through DCBS, but they do have a special kind of gift package or whatnot for this this issue if you want to check it out. And it has things like a patch and a poster and, you know, actually an embroidered patch of the squadron that these pilots are flying out of. It seems like a really nice package, and I think I mentioned this on Friday's episode too, but there will be 99 available for other people because I'm going to be sending my order in today as we record this. Make sure I get into that first 100.
Now, it is $4.99, but DCBS has it at a 45% off, so it's only $2.74. And again, it's a 48-page double-size issue, so it's a good deal all the way around. And like Damian was saying, the art on this is just phenomenal. So definitely recommend it. Okay, next up on the same page, we've got a recommendation for Archie 600. Unlike a Marvel one, this isn't going to be 104 pages, unfortunately. It's only going to be 32, but it's only $2.50, so that's not too bad. We've got a 50% discount on it, so it's $1.25. And the big deal here is Archie marries Veronica. This is the first part of the story, the proposal. This is already getting, I think, quite a bit of coverage in the mass media. And, you know, the eternal love triangle's finally ending. So, I mean, come on, you gotta check this out. It just seems like a milestone issue for Archie in many ways.
I mean, the eternal question, Betty or Veronica, is answered, and it is Veronica, which is good because it leaves Betty for me. But my wife would probably have something to say about that, so maybe not.
I was gonna say.
I always preferred Betty myself, so Archie, I think he's going for the cash, you know. Veronica's got the yachts and mansions and stuff like that. So he's a gold digger, that Archie Andrews.
Yeah, I will definitely review this when it comes out. All right, next up we have another clip from Damian. And I'm kind of curious about this and what he has to say about it. So let's listen.
Hey guys, it's Damian back for my second last pick for the month, which is going to be Absolution Issue 1 from Avatar. Now, this is really the first one that actually Christos Gage that I've seen has had put out through Avatar. And it's literally, as with most of the sort of Avatar superhero things, it's actually pushing it beyond what we're used to with your Marvels and your DCs and things like that. Basically, the superheroes in this world are licensed by the government to be able to, you know, do what they do. So they sort of have a bit of leeway in what they can do to be able to put it to justice and things like that. So there is actually a justice side of it. It's not sort of like, you know, superhero A tying somebody up and leading them out the front of the police station, and that's it. So there is a bit of an authority that they've actually got there. But we're actually talking about one character who's... he's been dealing with it for quite some time. He's been doing the job for some time, and the evil from watching what has been happening has really been eating at him, for the fact that you actually have, you know, he watches perpetrators being taken away, he's, you know, everything like that. So, and one day he just crosses the line and he actually kills the person that he was, the murderer that he was actually chasing down. And that's where things change for him, and he realizes his, you know, this is one way to make sure that they actually get what they deserve. So this is going to be the story of the character John Dusk actually going through and basically going from one point and seeing how deep he can go into it, and, you know, we get to see if he can come back from there. So if you hadn't seen it, it's actually on page 200 and 201. They've got a really good write-up there on that. And as I said, it's Christos Gage. It's issue 1 of 6, so it's not too long. And it, as in all Avatar tradition, you actually have a normal cover, you have a wrap cover, and there's the Crime Files edition, which is the third cover for this one. So, you know, really have a look at it, see if you like it. As I said, there's actually 2 pages of it here, and it's actually a essay on Absolution by Christos Gage there as well. So check it out, see what you think, and I'll let you go back to the guys.
This is one that looks interesting to me, but I'll be honest, whenever an Avatar Press title says mature readers, I have to wonder if I have the stomach for it.
I'm going to guess no.
Yeah.
I'll be getting it. I'll let you know.
Okay, next up, we've got another clip from Bill. Let's listen to that.
Hi, this is DBM again with my second pick. It is on page 220 of previews from Buena Ventura Press. It is the BP Comics Revival Previews Exclusive 3-Pack. It is $11.95. What this is actually a 3-pack of 3 comics that Buena Ventura Press is bringing out, packaged together. So you get all 3 comics for the $11.95. Now, the reasons behind this should be obvious to anyone who is up to speed with the comics industry these days and the situation with previews. Obviously, rather than bring out 3 individual issues, they've decided to package them together such that there's a higher price for the 3, and with that, they will hopefully be able to meet the numbers necessary to stay in previews. So this includes 3 comics, 2 number 1s and 1 number 3. The comics are I Want You, which is by newcomer Lisa Hanawalt, which tackles interspecies romance, grocery shopping, bug sex, and love letters with an absurd sense of humor that's as equally crass as it is sophisticated. The Aviatrix, which is by Eric Haven, which presents 5 stories of darkly comedic situations featuring Haven, monsters, and a mysterious plot. And the last one is Injury, Ted May's Injury number 3, which delves into 80s high school burnoutery and introduces an all-new feature, Beast Biplane. Now, I have been collecting Injuries, so I have the first 2 issues of the Injury comic, and I love it. So I'm excited to get number 3, and, you know, it's kind of a bonus to me to be able to check out these additional number 1s with Injury. I don't know anything about The Aviatrix or I Want You. I looked online to find out some information, and could not find very much. I did find some art by Lisa that looked real good. There's a lot of characters with animal heads, so I'm not sure where she's going with that, but I'm just curious to find out. Eric Haven brought out a comic, which the name of which eludes me at this moment, but it was very highly regarded. So, and with Injury alone, I recommend Injury. It has a lot of stories of, well, like it says, burnoutery in the 80s, and it has an interesting couple interesting shorter stories in it as well. There's one with a character named Heracles, which is very humorous. So Eric Haven brought out Tales to Demolish, which number 1 through 3, which I've never checked out, but which seemed to get high praise. So I think Bonaventure Press puts out some real good independent comics. So if you're interested in checking out this 3-pack, I would recommend it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Bill. And next up, we're coming into Dynamite Comics. We've seen Project Superpowers. We've seen the interim series like the Death Defying Devil and Masquerade. We've seen Project Superpowers Chapter 2. Where are all the bad guys? We're going to find out on page 226. We've got Project Superpowers Meet the Bad Guys, number 1 of 4. We're spotlighting a lot of the bad guys and bad girls in the Project Superpowers universe. This is essentially like what bad guys from the 40s and 50s have fallen into public domain so that these guys can use them in the Project Superpowers. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see kind of Alex Ross redesigns on these characters and some new stories written by Alex Ross and Joe Casey. So 50% off on this one from DCBS. I'm going to definitely be checking it out and seeing what some of these classic bad guys look like with a 21st century spin put on them.
Yeah, given what they've do with kind of the forgotten and forgettable heroes of the Golden Age, some of the villains are going to be even more kind of forgettable and forgotten. So it'll be kind of interesting to see who they pull out and what they do with them, yeah. And I'm loving the Project Superpower stuff, so I'm looking forward to that too. Now on page 243, we've got PS 238 number 41. It's got a 45% discount through DCBS, so instead of being $2.99, it'll only set you back $1.64. This is going to be dealing with the Emerald Gauntlets and kind of the backstory there and some stuff. And the junior Emerald Gauntlet has to get help from his family's arch enemy to go rescue his father. And given what's going on with the Darkest Night and all the Green Lantern stuff, seeing Aaron Williams take on that, you know, kind of aspect of superheroes and stuff, I'm really looking forward to. We're going to be reviewing issue, I guess, 39 of PS 238 on Monday's episode of the Weekly Comics Spotlight. Both Bob and I love this series. It's consistently fun and a great read. Aaron Williams is knocking it out of the park there. So we wanted to kind of spotlight this upcoming one, particularly with the Green Lantern kind of riff they're doing. Maybe we can get some people who are interested in all the stuff at DC to at least give this a shot. The basic premise here, for people who don't know, is it's about a public school for the kids of superheroes, and they have powers and stuff like that. And it's not dumbed down in the least. These are smart kids. It's a smartly written book, and it's usually one of the better written books I'm reading out there. You know, it's fun, it's entertaining, definitely worth checking out.
And our next book up, I think John alluded to this one way back on our first pick when he was talking about the Usagi Yojimbo comic book. But here on page 247, we have Usagi Yojimbo, the special edition. This is a two-book hardcover set. It is 1,200 pages. There is a regular edition that is $95, and there is a special limited edition that is $135. The difference being the special limited edition one has got its autographed and probably has a little sketch in it by Stan Sakai. Since I see Stan Sakai every year in San Diego, I'm going to get the regular $95 edition, save myself $40, and walk up, compliment him as I do every year, and have him autograph it and do a little Yosagi sketch in it for me when I see him at the con. But what this is it's a hardcover of what appears to be, since it's coming out from Fantagraphics, all the Fantagraphics Usagi material, which is essentially the first seven softcover collections of Usagi Yojimbo. So that is a lot of material. And you look at it and say, wow, $95, that's a lot of money. But, you know, you're paying $100 for a Marvel omnibus, you're paying $100 for, an absolute edition from DC. This material easily stands up in quality to any of that stuff. It is 1,200 pages, which is a lot of pages for the money. It is a really good deal. You know, you come down to it, and it's about 3 cents a page for all this material when you take the discount. Now, this is a 50% discount from DCBS, so you can get it for $47.50. That is a darn good price for 1,200 pages, and this has got my highest recommendation. Like I was saying earlier, I've been reading this since the beginning, and reading this stuff, I don't see how you can not fall in love with this character and Stan Sakai's work. The man is a tremendous talent, and this is just something that stands head and shoulders above, you know, so many other things that I read. Again, highly recommended. If you can swing, if you're a DCBS customer and you can at all swing $47.50, you know, give it a shot. You know, if you're unsure about it, you know, it's kind of a big risk to take. You know, go into the local comic shop and check out an issue. These issues have been coming out like clockwork for 20 years. You've got all kinds of trade paperbacks. Pick up a trade paperback, open it up, and read one of the stories in it. Go to Barnes & Noble or Borders. They've got these books there, too. Give it a try and see. And, you know, I think you'll like it. And then give this hardcover collection a thought.
Yeah, I'm going to be picking up this hardcover collection. And, again, we've got the current issue and previews of 122 at the beginning from Dark Horse at a 50% discount, too. But having listened to Stan Sakai when he was here in Austin, having heard great things about this title, you know, really forever, I figured, hey, it's about time for me to check it out. And this is a great way for me to get on board with the early segment of the material.
Yeah, and there are 22 soft cover trades out so far of this character. And this will be collecting the first seven of them. So, I mean, there is a lot of Usagi material out there to pick up. And, you know, you can even pick up the latest trade only gets up into, you know, just past 100, maybe issue 105, 107, something like that. So picking it up and reading it monthly at starting with 122, that's something that people can do also. And then catch up on some of the old classic stuff in trade format.
Now on page 273 from Outlaw Entertainment, we've got We the People graphic novel. It is at a 40% discount through DCBS. It's $7.99, but it's 112 pages full color, and it works out to $4.79 through DCBS. And the concept here is that the legendary characters of like Zorro, Robin Hood, and Sinbad the Sailor were not just stuff of fiction, but real people, and part of a long lineage of protectors of justice and, you know, people who fight for the innocent, you know, superheroes essentially. You know, crime fighters. And how in the current day, the new generation of them is gonna clean up a city that's run rampant with, you know, corruption and injustice. And yeah, I love this concept because it's taking legendary, you know, characters, again, Zorro, Robin Hood, Sinbad, and kind of modernizing them and doing a new take on them and seeing how they would kind of operate in a modern setting. And, you know, to me, that kind of alternate take on classic characters is just really cool. It sounds like a lot of fun. $7.99, yes, that's a little high, but soft cover, 122 page, full color. I mean, you get the whole thing in one shot. So it's not, gee, are they going to come out with the next issue? Is it going to be delayed or any of that stuff? And, you know, I think that's a fair price point because, I mean, let's face it, it's, what, twice what a 32-page Marvel comic would be for 3-4 times the number of pages. So this was one that I noticed as I was flipping through previews on the teleconference we do every month. Said, this looks cool, so figured I'd give it a shot.
And you convinced me, because I'm going to be picking it up too. So it's not that bad of a price for what you're getting, and it sounds interesting. So I'm willing to try it.
And depending what week it comes out, we may review it for the weekly spotlight. I'm hesitant to commit because it is 112 pages.
Yeah.
We already have one week where we did, I guess it was the Knights of the Dinner Table 150. It's like, 160 pages or something. It's like, man, I only have so much time. But looks good. Okay, we've got our last pick of the month, and anyone who's listened to these episodes before knows it's going to be from Damien.
But I've got one after Damien.
But yeah, so. But it's our last submission. You're right, it's not our last pick, it's our last submission. I sit corrected. So let's hear what Damien has to say.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my last pick for the month from page 274, and from Radical Publishing we have Incarnate. Now, this is a story by Nick Simmons, who's the writer, the creator, and the penciler, and then Matt Dalton, who's the inker. Nick Simmons, if anyone didn't know, is actually the son of Gene Simmons. He has written a couple of things before. He had some stories in the Gene Simmons House of Horror issues that were coming out from Image, if I remember correctly. But this is his take on a manga of sorts. It's literally about revenants. No, not zombies, revenants. Revenants are sort of a different sort of thing. They actually come back with the soul, meaning they have a task that they want to do. So more along the lines of Jason from the Friday the 13th movies. There was one who was literally worshipped as a god, centuries ago, and how he's walking the earth in search of a purpose for his mortality. So it's going to be an interesting ride with this one. It's $4.99, but it's a 54-page book. So, I reckon that's worth the money there. It's one of three, so there's not going to be many to them. But the artwork, it looks really spectacular. Like, just looking at what's there, it's sort of like an American take on a manga look, and it just looks purely evil, which is really cool. The one thing that does sort of intrigue me as well, you actually see the character on the front cover actually has like a hand in the palm of his hand. So he's got a mouth in the palm of his hands, which reminds me a lot of Vampire Hunter D, which is something that I actually loved when it originally came out. I had it on video and everything, so that's what's really caught me in there. And you'll also notice that the actual big fold-out from Radical actually has the big picture on there as well, so have a good look at that. See what you think. It seems to be an interesting book and something that I'm going to be picking up because it's just a really cool idea as far as I can. Everyone does zombies. Why not have revenants for once? But that's it for me for the month. I shall talk to you all next month. And remember, you can always find me on Twitter at twitter.com/LordShaper. And the Cryptographic and Welcome to Heaven Size podcasts are coming back. Okay. Bye, and speak to you next month.
I will definitely be getting this Incarnate. Looking forward to it. Have not been let down by Radical yet, but I like horror stuff too. Not quite as much as Damien does, but I do like it. This one might be outside of your sweet spot though, John.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'll pass on that.
Last pick, it's something that I noticed when we were going through on our previews call. I think somebody else pointed it out on the call. I had totally missed it. On page 280, we got the James Bond Omnibus trade paperback. It is a collection of the British James Bond newspaper strip, which I don't think I've ever really read. And it's got a bunch of storylines. We've got Casino Royale, Live and Let Die, Moonraker, Diamonds Are Forever, From Russia With Love, Dr. No, Goldfinger, Risiko, From a View to a Kill, For Your Eyes Only, and Thunderball. So that's quite a few stories. Risiko was a story in one of the James Bond collections. I'm thinking it was in the same collection that Quantum of Solace was in also, but there were a couple novels that Ian Fleming put out that weren't strict novels, but they were collections of shorter stories. But these would be adaptions of the Fleming novels as opposed to the movies. So you're not going to see Bond, you know, pulling a laser beam out of his watch or something like that. These are a little bit more like the Daniel Craig James Bond movies. You know, the James Bond books were less gadgets and more of just, you know, action, spy thriller kind of things. So this has got an introduction by Sir Roger Moore. He has the distinction of kind of probably bringing some of the sillier gadgets to the James Bond genre, but good guy overall. 304 pages for only $14.95. So I looked at that and said, that's really not that bad of a price for 304 pages. And I love James Bond. I've read all the novels. So seeing the comic strips based on those novels, definitely something I'm going to be checking out. So if you're a Bond fan, this might have escaped your notice also. So I just wanted to point it out and point people's attention here to page 280. What's the discount? DCBS has got like 30% off or something like that. Yeah, 30% off, so it's only $10.47, 300 pages.
Cool.
Good deal.
One other thing I want to point out real quick. Anyone who has ordered the DC Comics Guide to Digitally Drawing Comics by Freddie Williams, it is being resolicited on page 310. That means previous orders are canceled and you will need to place a new order. So I just wanted to make sure people caught that, because at first I didn't. But that finishes up through the end of previews. This was the first month for me in a while where I went through the order form knowing I didn't have any budget constraints. My total is a little bit higher than it's been in the past. I've got 172 items for $748.72 at retail. After discount, shipping, bags, boards, etc., it comes out to $452.30, which works out to a 39.6% discount, which is, of course, why I'm getting stuff through DCBS and not locally, because they can't afford to give those kinds of discounts locally.
That's true. And mine came out, I have 162 items. $1,291 retail, $870 after the discount, which is a 37.4% discount. Now, you know, the difference between John and I is I'm getting a bunch more hardcovers. I'm getting the Bowen busts and those Eagle Moss led Marvel and DC characters, and a lot of those have only a 25% discount on them. They're not that particularly cheap, but still getting them through DCBS is significantly less expensive than getting these things full retail.
Well, I only have two things, I think, that are over like $10 after discount, and that's, of course, that Usagi special edition hardcover at the $47.50. And then the other item was the Peter and Max Fables novel at $10.34. So you're getting a lot more of the high-ticket items.
Yeah, I have quite a few. I mean, I have three Bowen busts that are about $50 a piece. I've got that Usagi hardcover. I've got the Deathlok hardcover, an Ultimate FF, an Ultimate X-Men hardcover. Kind of finish off my Ultimate collection. As they kind of spin that universe down and relaunch it, and Batman Black and White statue. So, you know, I've got quite a few things that topped that $10 mark.
Actually, I take it back. I've got a third item. I forgot to mention that Digitally Drawing Comics that I just pointed out. But yeah. But, I mean, also, your bookcases show that the high ticket items with both the novels, the busts, all that kind of stuff. So, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we have an open submission policy on this. We urge more of you people to take advantage of that, because really we want this to not just be me and Bob talking plus Damien's submission. You know, obviously we appreciate Bill's as well. But we want to have as many different voices and opinions as possible in these episodes, because Bill pointed out things like King City, the BP Comics Revival Pack, things that just never would have hit my radar at all. And so having that input was greatly appreciated. Damien covering kind of the horror side and things, again, that I'm certainly not going to be interested in or cover. I appreciate having those on the episode. Just for the different input, the different genres, and to better represent the fullness of the selection of what's out there in previews. Because there's something for everybody, and, you know, we want to make sure that people are finding comics that they're interested in. We do a previews call on the second Friday after previews is released. We do that on Skype. All you need to do is let us know that you're interested, and what we do is just an informal discussion for a couple hours, usually starting at 7 p.m. Central Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and I guess 8 Eastern on that Friday night, going through previews. This time we started with the other comics section and then covered the main publishers after that. Sometimes we start at the beginning of previews, work our way back. We don't really go page by page, but we talk about, you know, what things people are interested in, what they have questions about, get into numerous side discussions about, you know, is this worth the money? Is this writer or artist any good? What do you think of these characters? And really whatever else kind of comes up. It's a lot of fun. You don't have to stay for the whole time. You just need to let me know when you want to come in and out, and I'll add you to the call as needed. And then again, send in submissions as soon as you get previews and find something you want to talk about. So anything else, Bob, or does that pretty much do it?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.